Yes, this morning, years ago, we used to call it a spiritual meeting, but you know, every meeting is spiritual when two or more addicts get together with common purpose to stay clean. Sunday mornings have always been special to me. I've always seen a lot of winners at the beginning of weekends to bring them back together on Sunday, and I usually see a consistency through the years, and that's real important to me. Gratitude speaks when I care and when I share with others in a way. My gratitude is real immense because when I got here to Narcotics Anonymous, I was told that I could be who I am, what I am, and whose I am. And I had to learn at the level of feelings and emotions that I didn't have anything to be ashamed of because of my feelings, the way I thought, the way I acted. Through the years, that's been reinforced. I remember sharing with Jimmy Kay, one of the co-founders of Narcotics Anonymous, last time I saw him alive in 1983. He was sick at that time, and but he was so excited about the growth of Narcotics Anonymous. In just 8 short years, we've multiplied so many hundreds of times, and he would tell me years ago when I'd call him whining, he'd talk about patience and the rewards of the labor would not come overnight, and not to keep myself and to beware of the falling, you know, before the miracle occurred. And I'm glad that a lot of us have been able to stay around to see the rewards of those labors. Instant gratification was a big thing when I got here, and I had to learn a lot of love and tolerance and patience for myself. In so doing, I learned it with a lot of newcomers that I worked with through the years. And my gratitude is to the extent that I'm so glad that many people that I have worked with are still here, still clean today. They've been through a lot of trials, tribulations, and a lot of joy and happiness. The biggest thing is consistency and the balance that many of them have made for they could stay here. But Jimmy Kay, I remember him falling down crying at the Statue of Liberty in New York. And the gratitude that man felt because he saw those rewards coming through, you know. I remember coming to Huntsville years ago, and there was no Narcotics Anonymous. And the people that are still here today, remember those that helped them walk, and remember those that went back out the doors that were there, that we don't forget, you know, lest we forget. I'll turn it over and let's see what God has in plan for us. I'm sure it's going to be interesting. I'm not going to call on anybody. Let's just come up as the Spirit moves us. A lot of people will be coming on in, I guess, in the next hour. This is real typical Sunday mornings. And I'm real grateful that y'all are here today, this weekend of 12-step Lynn, because Lynn still needs it even more today than when he was a newcomer, because God's going to take care of my needs, and he's also going to give me what I want, because they will be coupled together. God does not give me something to only take it away from me. And that's the faith I have in Narcotics Anonymous today. And that's the beauty of this program. All I have to do is not put anything in, go to meetings regularly, and share my grief and my joy with y'all. And that's real important. Thank you. Okay, I'll call on somebody. Jeff, would you come up here and share with us? Start us out. Yeah, you. Grateful Jeff from Florida.
Yeah, buddy. You got plenty of it.
I'm an addict. My name is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. I wonder if y'all are awake. Well, let's see. I used to say that the word gratitude made me feel like throwing up, you know, because I used to go to these meetings and the topic would be gratitude and everybody would be like, well, I'm grateful I have my health today and I'm grateful I have my little finger and that was ridiculous. I didn't see gratitude in action because I was taught gratitude is an action, not words. And you show your gratitude by reaching out and helping another addict and being an example of recovery. And so I really hated that word. And now it's like, it doesn't really bother me. But I am grateful today to be clean in Narcotics Anonymous and to be part of the process of recovery. And I've been through periods where I felt like not part of, because I wasn't doing my part. I wasn't participating. I wasn't sharing. And I mean, I was going to meetings for months and months, not opening my mouth, you know, or maybe once a week at my home group, and that was about it, and where I wouldn't say too much anyway. But I felt really alienated, and so I had to really work hard to get out of that state of mind, you know. So I was starting to look at all the negative things. Hell, this is the best life I've ever had. I never had peace of mind, and I get it from being in Narcotics Anonymous and working steps and having a higher power and loving addicts around. And it's really nice to be at this celebration this weekend because it's just really beautiful and mellow and serene, at least for me. But I don't know. Sometimes I focus on some things that I think are going wrong in Narcotics Anonymous, like in the service structure or whatever, and it can get me crazy, so I got to get myself out of that frame of mind and remember all the positive things. Because when I first came around Narcotics Anonymous in my state, let alone region, there was only 20, 25 meetings, and now we got, in the state of Florida, we're closing in on probably 1,000 meetings already. So fantastic, you know, all the growth and everything, but you know, so sometimes I think about the negative things and I think about these they, you know, us and them and those people that are not doing things the way I want them to be doing things, and it's all their fault, and you know, it's like get them the hell out of there. And I used to have fantasies of like blowing up the World Service Office. But that's not the answer, you know. Fighting them like that is not the answer. It's not about fighting. It's about working for unity. And that's what I got to remember. It's like our common welfare should come first. And though I may totally disagree with a lot of things that go on, it's more important for us to be unified than for us to rip each other to shreds and kill a lot of people, because that's what could happen. This fellowship could die out if we don't work for unity. There was an organization in the 1800s called the Washingtonian Society that thought they found the answer for quote-unquote alcoholism, okay, whatever that is. They were helping people and everything, and then they got caught up in issues. And there were like a million people that belonged to that organization, and they got caught up in all these different issues, and it ripped their organization apart. It all died out, and there was no recovery anymore. So that's what could happen to Narcotics Anonymous if we don't work for unity. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that don't seem to care too much about unity on any side of the issue. And look, I've been guilty of being a rebel rouser myself. Mm-hmm. That's just my personality. But I just feel it's more important for our common welfare, you know, for us to, like, put our differences aside, and for us to, but also for us to speak out and stand up for what we should strive for. Because I think our groups, our members in our groups have a lot of good experience, and they should be making a lot of decisions for Narcotics Anonymous, and we're not doing it. So we need to speak out and make this fellowship strong and unified again. I've been chastised, you know. It's like I chaired a meeting in our convention, and I asked some controversial person to speak, and it's like these people hate my guts now. You know, oh, I can't believe you had that person speak. You know, it's like, hey, any range of opinion should be allowed to be expressed, and that's the way I feel. But it's okay. And I really love Narcotics Anonymous too. It's just a great feeling because I have peace of mind today. I don't walk around with that negative head anymore that I once had, like 24 hours a day, never feeling any peace at all. It's like I'd wake up in the morning, the first thought would be fear, and it's just not there anymore. So this program really works, and thank you very much.
My name is Stanley, and I'm an addict. And I'm so grateful to be here.
That's
great. It's Friday morning, and we're driving down nonstop, and we pull the car into the parking lot at the Ramada Inn. And parked the car in the parking lot, and I looked up at the sign after all this driving, and it was a welcome for NA history, and I looked at the sign, and it said 30 years. And it was Friday morning, and it had been a lot of driving, and something looked wrong. And I stared at that sign, checked in, got the little packet, went up to the room, and it's time to get some sleep after all that driving. I read a real neat little reading from Jimmy Kinnon, which I thought was pretty neat. And then I flipped it over, and it said the 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous, and it had the steps. And I said, it's time to get some sleep. When I slept and woke up, by some miracle, the sign was changed. And I just feel real grateful to be down here. We drove, I said, nonstop from Massachusetts, but coming to meetings and Narcotics Anonymous and all this stuff, I never ever thought that was a good idea. It was not one of my things to do. And I was in a strange city in Connecticut, and I hit a heavy overdose of heroin, and I was dying. I was dying on the streets of a strange city that I'd never been to in my life in Connecticut. And I was hoping, praying someone would stab me because I got three children that I didn't want their dad to know that their dad had died of a heroin overdose. A stabbing would have been so merciful. And as my vital signs were fading, I got this strong inspiration. I don't know where the heck it came from, but the inspiration was that I had to go to one meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. And that was a scary inspiration because I did not know one soul who had ever been to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous or to any 12-step meeting. It just was not on my agenda. So I got back. Somehow I couldn't drive. I was so sick and puking and sick and sick. And the girl who was with me did not even have a driver's license. She didn't know how to drive, and I forced her to drive and had to just stay between the lines. And then I got back. And I didn't know you could just pick the phone up and call Narcotics Anonymous and somebody would help you. I didn't know these things, you know. So I called our local hospital. The only thing I ever heard was something from the methadone clinic when I was hooked up with them. But, you know, I wasn't going to drive to the methadone clinic at night and go to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous without enough money to cop a bag. No way, you know. And so I never went. But that's the only place I'd ever heard of Narcotics Anonymous. Was my counselor used to say, well, you ought to go to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. I go, yeah, yeah, far out, you know. But this was such a strong thing for me, And I called a local hospital, and this was on a Tuesday, and there was, for me, a meeting that Thursday. And believe me, by the time I got there, I was really dope sick. But I am so grateful the meeting was there. Being as sick and as close to death as I was, I didn't have to go start any meetings. There was a meeting there for this addict to go to. For this addict to go in and shake and shake and have someone come up to me and say, man, you belong in a treatment center. And they started to do this with me. And somehow I just spent too much of my life locked up. I went, no. I said, no treatment center. And it was in Narcotics Anonymous that I made my stand to live and die in Narcotics Anonymous or go back out. And but for the grace of God and a lot of work, I'm still here, and I just think it's awesome. In a couple of weeks, we'll be at the Miracle in Maine, and we'll be chairing a meeting up there at the convention, and it's just a whole new way of life. I feel like I actually died. And we have a disease that is physical, emotional, and spiritual. I had a spiritual death, an emotional death, and I believe as close to a physical death as death can be, and was reborn in Narcotics Anonymous. I love you people. I want to bring a little bit of everybody I met down here at this glorious convention back to New England with me. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dennis, and I'm addicted.
Hi, Dennis.
Oh, you know what spurred me to come up here, but, I'm from Kansas City. I moved to Alabama about 2 months ago. I feel real good about my move. I like Alabama. It's real mellow, real clean. The first sign I seen coming into Alabama is Alabama the Beautiful, and I like that. That's kind of how I see it. I come up here with a friend that's real involved in service work, and he's out at some other meetings right now, getting his head collected. And, you know, I come up here and I heard a bunch of things that I really didn't understand. I went to bed last night early, still not understanding a lot of things. And I woke up this morning and it was like, I don't know, it's okay if I don't understand a lot of things. I think for the rest of my life, I probably won't understand everything, and that's okay. But I know that a little over 6 years ago, I started applying just the original, probably the original draft of the 12 steps to my life, and my life got better. And I keep on applying those steps to my life, and my life just keeps on getting better. I've been through a lot of highs and a lot of real lows. But the application of them 12 steps to my life have kept me clean today. So, I don't know, I just wanted to let myself know that, you know, because when I speak, most of the time I just speak for me. I need to hear myself say something, you know, so that I can believe it myself. I know in the future there'll probably be a lot of more drafts of different books of, you know, NA. A lot of more people wanting to rewrite things. Okay, that's the way it goes. That's kind of why we're here. But for me, I'm just going to keep on using the 12 steps of my life and work them to the best of my ability. I know I'll be okay. I'll stay clean. It was good to be up here, and thanks for you guys for putting this stuff together. I really enjoyed it. You know, there was nothing this weekend that I've heard said up here that I didn't really agree with, right? No matter who said it, right? You know, it's like these people get up here and this half the people are going, oh, no, no, no. And it's like, yeah, that's all right, you know. And this other guy's get up here, you know, and the other half going, oh, God, please, what is he saying, right? You know, and it's like, I agreed with that too, you know. So I don't know, whoever the committees are that's going to get together to get all this shit straight, I pray for you. Thanks.
Florida. Yeah, my name is Victor and I'm an addict.
Hi, Victor.
And the reason I'm here is because of gratitude, because I wanted to know where NA came from. That's why I came here, to find out about the history. Where I come from, nobody knows anything. It's like this incredible thing just happened, and how did it happen? I don't know, but I'm going to go find out, and that's why I came here. And it was just overwhelming that I didn't even think I'd be able to meet people that actually helped write the text. And I got a copy of the minutes that started NA and everything. It was like, you know, I didn't imagine any of that. And it's important for me in my recovery to make this trip, you know, to get off my ass and actually show my gratitude by coming here and being part of, instead of you know, just hearing about things and not actually being there and doing things. And because that's the way my addiction was, you know, just sitting back waiting for something to happen and nothing ever happened, waiting for tomorrow to do something and tomorrow never got there. And today, you know, I have to get up and make it happen for me. And I got a lot of inspiration here, a lot of inspiration from a lot of people that I need to be grateful that they were around, that, because I know that if they wouldn't have been around, I wouldn't be here today. That's the way I see it, you know, because I'm a miracle, you know, and they helped plant the seed of the miracle that helped my miracle occur. And when I went to NA the first time, what I was expecting was people to tell me, you know, you're such a this, and why do you do this to your parents, and what I got was love, you know, something I had never really felt. People just hugging me and saying, I understand, and it's okay. And that just blew me out of the water, and I go, shit, you know. I went expecting these people to bitch at me, and they hugged me. You know, I can't hold anything against them. And that's how resentful I was towards the world. And I kept going. And I ended up going to Wicna last year. And that's where I felt part of, when I saw these people. And I knew that they all had the same sickness and disease that I have, and that we could all identify, and there were no fights, and everybody was just giving that unconditional love that I had never known existed. And that's where I felt part of, and that's where I made a dedication, you know, to myself and to NA, that I was going to become part of and get off my ass and really do something. And that's what this conference, this celebration here did for me too, because I was, you know, I get real complacent really quick, and you know, I never had really applied in my program principles before personalities. I had never really understood what that meant. I thought that meant that I could say that I'm Victor and I'm an addict, but I didn't see you here. You know, that's what I thought it was, because that's what they say down in my home group. That's what it means. And here I learned what it means, you know. The main reason I'm here and the main reason NA exists is to pass the message to that suffering addict. And if I could do something to pass the message, that's what I want to do. And that's what my recovery is based on. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm Robert, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Robert.
I'm very grateful to NA for a new way of life. You know, Kind of nervous up here. Really don't know what to say, but, you know, when I came through the doors of NA, I didn't have to know what to say. But I did need to say what I needed to say, you know, and you know, I'm very grateful that I was able to share freely, you know, like gratitude speaks when I share the NA way, you know, and there's no right way nor wrong way. I think for the people who have been around a while, you know, we get better at being able to share and being examples, you know, to the newcomer, you know, I'm grateful for those people who has had tolerance with me, because you know, I hadn't worked the perfect program, and I don't feel that any of us have. But you know, it's not perfection, but it's getting better, and changing, you know, and the traditions, you know, they're very important. Because the steps are real important too, and the traditions are too, and I'd probably sound, but you know, there's a lot of addicts dying, you know, and I would like to help carry the message, you know, and I know a lot of other people would too, and the best thing that I can do is my part, you know, and maybe that ain't but chairing a meeting, you know, or doing some little something, you know, but there comes a time when, as a member of NA, you know, I need to share my experience, strength, and hope, and not only with my home group, but there's people who are not hearing the message, you know, and getting that public information, you know, is real important, because I never heard of NA, you know, until I come to NA, until I went into a hospital and institution. Sure, the hospital and institutions are important, you know, but, you know, radio, you know, television, all of that stuff is important, you know, getting it out there, you know, and let them know that we're here. I would have liked to have known about NA before I knew about it, you know, but it didn't happen that way. It took me a long time and a lot of suffering to get to where I needed to go to treatment. And, you know, I'm very grateful for this way of life, and I can't carry the addicts, but I can carry myself to a meeting, you know, and I'm grateful for those people who haven't tried to carry me, because it's helped me to be able to stand on my, to stand with God, the God of my understanding. I'm not alone today, and I'm very grateful for that, and thanks. Love y'all.
Thank you.
I'm an addict.
Absolutely.
Hey, family. And today I can say that. Oh, I guess ever since I've been clean, basically, I've been involved in some fashion or form service work. And I can only speak for myself. Being in service is that I also walk with adversity. I know when I got here, addicts didn't have treatment centers. I was not acceptable because I didn't qualify to get in treatment centers. So all I had was a small fellowship known as Narcotics Anonymous. All we had was a few IPs. All we had was a little white book. Another thing, all we had was a $7 approval form. Well, let me tell y'all something, family. Those little pieces of literature saved my ass. That's what I'm grateful for today. And I'm also grateful for those people that allowed me to be me, that taught me unconditional love, taught me H-O-W. I don't hear that talked about in meetings today. All I hear about is what's going on out there, or what's going on up here, or what's going on down there. I don't hear what's going on in here no more. And that's what I got when I got here. You know, we hear the cliches, I can only keep what I have by giving it away. And when I got here, it was freely given to me. They wanted something from me that I didn't know I had. That's what I'm grateful for today. I'm also grateful to be a part of this region. Like I say, I walk with adversity. I'm not standing up here today to point fingers at anybody because I know how it feels to be pointed fingers at. If you're in service, you're going to have your eyes pointed at. Last night I felt like an Anda. For once in my life, I felt what an Anda felt like. You know, I'm comfortable today to say I'm an addict because to me that fulfills people, places, and things, credit cards, money, music, anything that turns me on. I guess I want to basically say is that I feel confused inside. I feel confused because one side of me says, is this unity going on? Then the other side of me says, is unity going on? And the only thing that I got to go to is my higher power. I got on my knees this morning, y'all, and hit my meditation book. I had to have some time alone. Because all I've heard in the past 24 hours sometimes is yin-yang. I didn't come in here to hear a bunch of fucking yin-yang. I can go out there and hear it. We can only keep what we have by giving it away. You know, it says in our 12 traditions, we keep what we have only with vigilance. Does anybody know what vigilance means? For me, it means awareness. You know, the first tradition says our common welfare should come first. My common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Did y'all hear what I said? You know, it says in our basic text from the WSC Lit Committee, one of the things that that will destroy us is internal strife. Any of y'all have ever read that? I don't know who's right and who's wrong. But I know what I believe in. And I believe in our literature. I believe in my higher power. I may not be making a bunch of sense, but I had to get up here and say this for me. No matter how much clean time I have today, I wake up every morning a newcomer. I don't mind picking up the coffee cups. I don't mind opening the doors. I don't mind reading how it works. I don't mind leading that first step meeting. I don't mind chairing a meeting. People say, well, you're not involved. You're not carrying a bunch of positions on your back. To me, that's carrying the message. I show up at meetings today. That's what I'm grateful for. I don't like wars. We got a war going on out there in the Gulf, man. I don't want one right here. I love y'all. And I love this fellowship. I would lay down and die for this fellowship because, by God, people lay down and die for me. They did. Those that are out there still researching for me are my teachers. I am not that clean yet to say, hey, I don't need you in my life. By the grace of God, there goes me. I'm only one fix, pill, and drink away. I love y'all. Once again, I love y'all. And I hope some of you got something positive out of this weekend. If nothing else, it put me to my knees. Thanks for letting me share.
I like this song really unusual at this time. Well, it's not so unusual where I come from. Back in the old NA days, sometimes we'd take a quick hug break and take a real quick fresher, a couple of minutes, okay? I need a hug. When I got here, I was untouchable, I was unlovable, and I was unhuggable. And I didn't want you to touch me, and I didn't want you to love me because I was so terrified of it. Because somebody might actually care for Lynn for the first time other than somebody that was drugging and carrying on. He'd go to any lengths to get your loving and your nurturance. And, you know, I found out that I didn't have to prove the truth when I got here that something too is said. You know, it's just a matter of you people pulling some of the things out that I needed desperately. And I remember the first time my sponsor hugged me when I was about 2.5 months clean. He wouldn't let me go, and I started crying. I cried probably the whole day, and I don't think I stopped for 2 goddamn years, you know. And after that, they couldn't shut me up in the meetings, you know. And that was my biggest gratitude when I got here, because I knew somebody started caring for Lynn for the first time that he could feel. You know, I don't have any significant others. I don't have that family that cares about my recovery in Narcotics Anonymous, but I know it don't matter who is here as long as there's a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. There's a God, there's a higher power that's going to speak through somebody, through their action, their care, and their sharing the NA way. And that's the ground of my gratitude, you know. And everything else I've got to know is secondary. And when those secondary needs and wants aren't taken care of, you people are here to help me walk, you know, and help me talk the talk, too. And that's really important. And so, you know, I get real confused about what gratitude is. Sometimes it's not even emptying the ashtrays or making the coffee. Sometimes it's just being there or just being able to be, being allowed to be. And that was the most important thing for me. You know, I went through a treatment, the modality, about a month ago, and I was able to be me, and it ripped me open emotionally. I don't have any defenses. And I can't use newcomers nor old-timers nor service work. And I don't want to fill those things up. I want to fill my hole up with some other things today. And that's going to be really beautiful because God's got something really great in store for me if I know to stay clean. And the loneliness that I experience will slowly go away, but I know I'm never alone, and that's really important to me. I don't have to use persons, places, and things anymore to validate my existence because, you know, this is a program of attraction, and I've surrendered to the points of being attractive at times where, you know, I have wondered where my spirituality comes from sometimes, only to lose it and only to regain it again and again and again. And so that's my gratitude, the fact that I don't have to go back out there today and you people keep coming back. Would someone please come up and share?
My name's Roy. I'm an addict.
Hi, Roy.
It's strange to be up here, my friends. The best thing about recovery is that I can really be grateful for today is that therapeutic value of one addict helping another. You know, and that's what our basic text is about to me, because it's addicts helping another addict. You know, and that's something recovery has given us, is that ability to care and share for another human being. Okay, another addict. And we reserve that right today as addicts. Okay, that is a God-earned right. Okay, and we cannot afford to give up that right. Okay, and once we as addicts give up the control of our own literature, we give up that right. Okay, we give up that right we have fought so dearly for today. We no longer is one addict helping another. Once there's paid people to publish our literature, which are not recovery addicts, we give up that right. And that's something that we have to hold very dear, is that right to help another addict. Now, and that's what this program really means to me, is that being able to reach out to somebody and help them through something and watch them turn around and help somebody else out, you know. And we cannot afford to give up that right, you know. All our lives, we didn't have nothing to stand for. Today, we have a lot to stand for. We have a foundation to stand on. And I'm grateful for that, you know. We have a responsibility to ourselves. And I don't exactly agree with everything that's going on. But sometimes we have to put principles before personalities. You know? And I had no idea I was coming up here this morning. I'm just real grateful this morning for some reason. You know? I got something here to rekindle that spark that I needed so bad. You know? It's like I had this little flame still burning and I need a big bonfire inside. You know, to return my gratitude to other people. You know, and sometimes as recovering addicts, okay, we have a responsibility to not the minority, but the majority, okay? Which is those who write this literature, those that put in that time, you know, all that hours, you know, that's majority, that's major, you know? Those addicts gave their sweat and their blood and their love for us. And that's major. How can we deny them that? How can we deny addicts? that right that has so freely been given to us, how can we take that away from ourselves? No, I don't understand. It's that therapeutic value of one addict helping another. I'm just real grateful to be here. I love y'all. I love each and every one of you. And thanks for allowing me to share.